director of Promax BDA, and this is the Daily Brief Podcast. You can subscribe to the Daily Brief Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Podomatic, and Spotify. And if you are enjoying our podcast, please head over to Apple Podcasts and give us all the stars. This helps more people find us. So today I am excited to be speaking with Dane Macbeth, he of the very Shakespearean name. He is creative director at Los Angeles-based agency Roger, which does some very cool work. One of our favorite spots of all time here at Daily Brief is one that Roger created for History for Mountain Men, which offered some deep philosophy about circles and squares.
When you look in nature, you see how things flow in a natural way. In nature, things are in a circle. You know, you got the water cycle, the food cycle, wind moves in a circle. What goes around comes around. I lived in a teepee for 17 years, a circle. You know, birds build their nest in a circle. You get to see the world in a circle, and you see your unity to the natural world when you pay attention to and get immersed in and connected with nature. And if you look at the modern world, you know, it's not so circular. You wake up in the morning, you're sleeping in a square. You step out into a square room and you walk through a square door and you walk to your table that's a square and you pour your cereal out of a square box. And pretty soon you get in your little square and you go to your little square building and you probably get into a square elevator and you go upstairs, you get in your little square room and you sit in front of your square screen and you punch on your square keys. You know, you have a square day. That's not very well rounded. The world of nature is all about the circle. And you look at the punch card, time clock, plastic cookie cutter world of modern, normal America, and I think, do I want to be normal? Uh-uh. There is a better way.
Hello, Dane. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So you're here today, though, to tell us about another spot that Roger created, also for history. This one positioned the stars of many of history's reality shows, such as Mountain Men, Ice Road Truckers, Counting Cars, Swamp People, Forged in Fire, and American Pickers as superheroes, a la the Avengers.
By decree of the Driver Elders, we dub thee now and forever an Ice Road Trucker.
They are chosen.
Welcome to the big time, Daddy-O.
Handpicked by the most revered in their field.
May you follow in our wake, Swarmhunter.
Your place at this forge is eternal.
May life treasures outweigh its trials.
And may you seek your mountain and find it.
They are among the bravest and most skilled humans on
It's a great spot. I thought it really captured the zeitgeist, so I'm looking forward to chatting with you about it. So for starters, why don't you just tell me what the brief was for this spot, and at what point did someone come up with the idea to position these stars as these Marvel-like superheroes?
Yeah, of course. So we've been working with history for many years, and we're always excited when the phone rings. We know it's going to be a fun and creative project. So the senior creative director that we work with over there, Matt Neary, gave us a call, and we always get excited. And he came to us with this awesome project. They had, the brief was actually a set of pencil boards that came in that looked like they were originally planning to shoot this as a live action piece. But they came to us, they figured that this might work better in animation, which we were super excited about because we thought the story sounded amazing. So it began with pretty much just them with a general idea of wanting to see these heroes, the main stars of the different shows, receiving these ceremonial objects. In the beginning, it was a little bit more each object was tied to the show. It was a set of driving gloves for Ice Road Truckers. It was a Bowie knife for Swamp Hunters, etc. So that was kind of the original brief, was just these different guys receiving these objects from the original elders from each of those shows. So the original Ice Road Truckers or the original Swamp Elders. And we kind of started from there and began with a pretty extensive design exploration based off that brief.
So, but the elders that are in the spot, they don't really exist in these shows. That's something that was that you guys came up with for this campaign, right?
Yeah, they had, so in the brief, they had kind of came up with that concept of these made up characters that are kind of, they're the original elders from these shows. So they they're definitely not real people ever represented in the show, but they have, you know, iconic imagery that shows that they've been around these worlds. They're sitting on these ice thrones. They have a lot of stuff on their clothes that show they've been ice road truckers since the beginning. So it was kind of these created characters, which was a lot of fun because, you know, we had to design the likeness of the real characters, but then we got to go off the rails and have a lot more creative freedom with the actual elders.
So, and was that sort of also behind the decision to take it in the animated direction, just because you could be a lot more fantastical if you were in animation?
I would say probably that was a part of it. We got involved once they had already made the decision to go into animation, so I can't speak directly to that, but I think I'm pretty sure that was a major part of the decision, was just we could push everything a lot farther with animation than with live action.
And where does animation figure into Roger's portfolio? Because I've seen you guys do a lot of animated stuff, but I know you do other kinds of campaigns and spots, but it seems like animation is something that people come to you for.
Yeah, so we started out almost 12, 13 years ago as really a motion graphics studio, mostly doing, you know, design-based animation and motion graphics. So we've kind of always, it's been our bread and butter from the beginning. We slowly have evolved into a much larger company that does live action and a bunch of other stuff now, but we always started in that space. One of the original owners and creative directors, Terry, came from working in editorial and over at G4 Network, doing a lot of animation over there. So it kind of began, it began as an animation studio. So we always go back to animation, you know, as much as we can. I think that it's a bit of our original wheelhouse, and we look at everything through a design lens, and, you know, these projects have come along over the years that have really positioned us in a place where we have an extensive design and animation portfolio that kind of gets a lot of those projects coming through our doors. As I mentioned, we've expanded on that, but that's kind of our original foundation was typography, motion graphic design, and animation. So we've been able to lean in that over the years and really kind of perfect that process.
What would you say the demand is for animated spots? I mean, I think it's hard to say as one agency, but do you feel like animation has sort of come back into vogue, or how do you feel like animation plays currently?
I definitely see it's very trendy right now. It seems to be a bit cyclical, like a lot of trends, but it never really kind of goes away. We always find ourselves doing, you know, I wouldn't say a 50-50 split, but a pretty healthy amount of animation. It definitely seems to be, I think with the major push of, you know, Instagram and Facebook, animation is eye-catching, it's poppy, it's colorful. It gets your attention faster than, say, just a live-action plate that's playing, you know, as you're browsing through Instagram. I think if you throw a celebrity in there, you know, that can get your attention as well. But I think a lot of places are now even leaning towards animation when, you know, if it is a live-action trailer and you have typography coming on for the subtitles, those are animated in a clever and fun way. So I think, you know, a lot of different agencies and networks are finding ways to bring animation into the fold and put it on the forefront, whether it is a fully animated spot or it's just using animation to help tell a story and help get people's attention, because, you know, attention spans are shrinking in today's market, so you have to have something that jumps out and gets them right off the bat. And I think, you know, our style of animation, it's just that. It's we want to get your attention right away, you want to be immersed in it, and then we want to, you know, really expand on that world. And I think this is a great spot that does that, where it's very eye-catching and colorful, and the style and design is iconic, but then as you go through the spot, you see there's much more to it than just that.
Yeah, so that's what I want to talk about, is the style that you guys used for the spot, which there's at least from what I saw on your website, there's a bit of a backstory behind it. So why don't you tell me that story?
Yeah, so when we first got the brief, you know, we immediately started thinking of all the different ways we can bring this to life. And, you know, we really had a fun time doing a big kind of reference pull of all the different artists that inspired us, you know, as kids, and have inspired many countless other creatives.
Can you mention some of those artists?
Yeah, we started out kind of loving the work of Ralph Bakshi from, you know, Lord of the Rings and Heavy Metal and a bunch of other of his great works, and then kind of went from there. We started out, you know, the beginning of the process was, do we want this to be Avengers? Do we want these to be overly muscular guys? Do we want it to be comic book heroes? We looked at a lot of simpler things where it's a little more realistic proportions. We looked at some of the great shows like Metalocalypse and other animated properties. We looked at kind of the way Batman has evolved over the years from the early 90s through through today, how his shape and form has changed. The upper large torso, the skinny waist. We looked at a lot of Joe Shuster stuff from the original kind of action comics, the, you know, those original iconic Superman comics from back in the day. We looked at some of the newer kind of action hero stuff, some of the Marvel stuff where it's a lot more colorful and a bit more bright. We looked at some Frank Miller stuff, some SimCity high contrast stuff. So we put together, a lot of times our design process will begin by pulling a bunch of reference and kind of saying why this is a good style and how this can relate to A, the viewers of history, and B, the properties that we're putting on display. So we kind of put that together and had a great creative call and creative process with the team at History. And kind of originally we settled on a more of the Ralph Bakshi look, which was really fun and kind of went down that path of that design look. Got pretty far along. We had a lot of great characters done, and then we kind of, once we started putting it together, we started getting some of the scenes put together. We found internally here at Roger and with the team that it was getting a little bit too busy. There was kind of too much stuff going on. It was hard to really instantly look at it and know what the story was. We took a step back and we pivoted a little bit and got a little bit more into the Joe Shuster Superman action comic style, which we ended up really loving. It provided a lot cleaner backgrounds, really bold colors, and it kind of fit more with the age demo of History Channel. I think the Ralph Bakshi stuff might have been a little bit too old and too stylized and not connect as much with the viewers. So we were really happy with that process and where we ended up in that kind of Joe Shuster look.
It's funny that Lord of the Rings animation that you mentioned, I just wonder how many people remember it. I loved that when I was a kid, and it might have been more The Hobbit actually, but it was all animated. But then, you know, I think once they did the new live action one, that everybody forgot that existed. But the Action Comics one that you mentioned, I mean, that's not new either. That you guys drew that from the 1930s, right? So yeah. It's interesting because I never really, I mean, I'm not such a comic book person, so I never knew about Action Comics, but I was recently covering, Warner Brothers did this DC superhero pop-up at South by Southwest, and they had Action Comics on offer, and they talked quite a bit about that. But so ultimately, the Action Comics look, why did you guys think this is really the way we should go?
It was definitely a collaborative process. We spoke with Matt. We were kind of sharing progress along the way, and Matt wanted to share it with his team over at History. We got some creative feedback that they were kind of thinking, you know, we love the way this is looking. It's really cool. We love the character design, the work you've done, the elders. They loved everything, that how it was coming along. It just, like I'd mentioned, it felt like it was getting a little too complex. So we kind of wanted to re-examine what the aesthetic would be. How can we simplify this down but maintain some of the great details we had done in? And we kind of collaboratively came to the decision that they loved that, those comics. It came from History, which was great because we were in love with that look when they kind of sent that original Studebaker image of Superman lifting that up. The colors just really popped, and we kind of we fell in love with that style, and we instantly kind of were able to take all the work we had done and shift it into that in a very organic and natural way. And it really it was a great one of those things where, you know, it's really hard sometimes to get your work that you fall in love with and have to change. But this was a great process that's the thing. We've worked with History for so long and with this team that we know anything they're going to give us is for the better of the project, and they feel the same way about what we tell them. So it's been a really great collaborative process that we've kind of honed in and are able to work well together to get a better product in the end.
It's interesting because you said it came from History. So my first reading of that comment was the idea came from actual History, you know, the history of Action Comics, but you mean it came from the History Channel team. But it works in both ways.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a really exciting kind of change because, you know, we were internally feeling like we were kind of, I think we came to the same kind of agreement that it was feeling a little busy and it was feeling a little hard to make sense of the story, because when you see the final spot, it goes through a lot of stuff quickly.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Yeah,
there's a lot going on. So we were kind of feeling that same sense. So when we heard that from them, it was great. It was like one of those moments like, aha, yes, we now can, you know, it's hard for us to be like, hey, we want to do a shift. We're not sure about this, but when it came from them and we kind of came together, it was a really great moment where there was some clarity that we were kind of coming to a creative solution together, which is always great.
Yeah, I mean, if you could have run it like a 15-minute spot maybe, but I mean, it's a lot of information in a very short period of time, and you have to really grasp as the viewer what's the, because there is a story being told unfold there, and you have to be able to grasp that story as well as take in all the animation.
You know, that was one of the exciting parts of this. When they approached us for this, they said, you know, we want this to be the origin story. We want to see these characters receiving these ceremonial objects or these belt buckles and kind of showing that they became a part of this bigger universe. So we started out the spot focusing on, two shows with a bit more detail, some lead-in shots, some establishing environmental shots, and then kind of cut through the other shows a little bit quicker. So the idea, and we're still in the process of this, is creating this spot, showing these origins, and then actually blowing out and expanding on these universes. So we might eventually do one spot specifically that's in the Counting Cars worlds, or one spot that's in the Mountain Men world, where it's telling a more specific story. So we're really excited about that possibility of getting to do a lot more of these in this now that the style and look has been established.
That's a question a little bit down the road, because I wanted to talk about that a little bit too. So let's go back. So in the producing of these spots, though, so once you guys, you did a lot of art running into it because you had to determine the look and do some proof of concept. But then as you were drawing out the characters and the scenes, can you tell me, walk me through what that process was was it hand-drawn, or what kind of software did you use, or how did you end up creating all those? Because it seems like quite a bit of work, really.
It was definitely a really fun process. We're really familiar with all the shows just because we've worked with History for so many years. So we obviously did a little bit of research, but we know them like the back of our hands. So we kind of instantly started so we need to create a Counting Cars world. We need to create a Swamp People world. You know, what are these worlds comprised of? So we began by kind of starting with the characters. We knew we had to nail that first. So we started with the likeness of the characters. How far can we push that? You know, like I mentioned earlier, how muscular, how much realistic do they want to look? So we kind of nailed and locked that down and worked on the elders at the same time. The elders, we could push more. We could make them a bit older, give them a bit more kind of, unrealistic proportions or push their outfits a bit more. So they're actually like their sweaters or their shirts are made up of car parts or made up of different components of the show. After that, we began with, like all things, kind of with pencil sketches. So we kind of drew out these environments and line art digitally with Cintiqs with our team, but kind of began there. So we got the characters kind of nailed, not inside of the environments, just on their own. And then we began with these environments. I believe the first one we did was, the beginning, Ice Road Truckers. So we started with Ice Road Truckers, kind of getting this establishing shot, this vast landscape, and then started with pencil sketches of the thrones and what that kind of scene would look like, and worked from there. So for pretty much all of them, it was a pencil sketch. We got that kind of approved. And then some of them, we actually went into 3D and modeled out the scenes just to get the angles right, put some simple geometry. And then after that stage, if we did a 3D stage, we would begin to color in those plates and bring it all to life before bringing it to animation.
Right, but it's ultimately 2D animation.
It's all cell animation. Yep, everything.
It's so funny because when you look at it, I mean, it doesn't seem not complex if you know anything about how these things are produced. But I mean, you wouldn't think you would have to go through the whole 3D modeling thing. It wouldn't occur to me. But it makes sense now that you say it, just in terms of making sure that it all looks correct, proportionate, and all that.
Yeah, not for every scene. You know, some of them we felt like the Counting Cars one, for instance. We had a lot of different car parts, and some artists work differently. You know, we had multiple artists working on this. So some are more traditional artists where they just get a pencil, you know, or a Cintiq pen and just start going to town. And then some other people, if they have a 2D, 3D background, they will, they'll map it out in 3D quickly with some geometry and use that to kind of really get the perspective nailed down. So it was a little bit of, you know, you kind of use your team and your artist skills to their advantage. So some of them might say, oh, hey, can you help me with this? Can you model this scene out quickly for me to help me kind of nail this down? Whereas some of the more traditionally cell drawn people might just say, you know, let me help you. I'm gonna draw the scene out for you. So it's really, we approach everything with, we like to put together the best team possible to get the best results. So it was a very collaborative process of those people working together on each scene.
And then once you were ready to put it into cell animation, what software, what processes do you use?
So we start everything, pretty much a lot of the stuff was done in Photoshop and Illustrator. Most of the design was all done in Photoshop. And then after we do that, we'll kind of break out all the characters and do all that in Flash. So all the character animation was done in Flash for this. The character, the effects, the fire, and then all the subtle, it was all put together in composite and After Effects. So the camera will have some slight movement on it in After Effects. Some of the lesser, like the lava lines, for instance, in the Forge and Fire scene was done in After Effects, but almost everything was done in traditional Flash animation. So it's pretty much a full cell spot.
And then can you talk about, you guys also sort of developed this iconography. You mentioned it before with the belt buckles, but they also are a play on the History logo. So can you just talk about developing those and if you have any plans to use those in different ways going forward?
Yeah, so that was a really fun part of the process as well. As I had mentioned, originally it was kind of this idea of these ceremonial objects being handed off. And we kind of found that that also convoluted the story a little bit through the process. So we took a step back and we felt what's something that they all can get that is iconic and feels different to each of them. So we came up with this solution of doing these history belt buckles. So they're each receiving this H. That way when they're out and about, you know, it's very iconic. You can see it. It's on their belt. Kind of like the assembling of Captain Planet with their rings. We felt like the belt buckle speaks to the history audience really well. And a way that we came up with differentiating the belt buckles between each of the universes is they each got their own kind of aura, this glow that kind of represented a little bit about each show or about an element related to the show. And that kind of was also a throwback to the old Action Comics where there's a lot of these different kind of things, like the space Silver Surfer had a kind of mystical glow around him, and Superman always kind of had very heavy action lines. So we pulled inspiration from all the different types of comic book universes and kind of put it into this. So for instance, for Mountain Men, the H belt buckle has these kind of electricity bolts around it. These guys live out in nature. They're dealing with the elements. Forged in Fire would be a little bit more literal where they're making swords and making different weapons. So fire seemed like the obvious way to go there. So we kind of examined each show and then gave each show its own distinct color palette and each of these belt buckles their own auras, which was a lot of fun kind of cleverly working with Matt and the team coming up with what the best representation for each show would be.
Yeah, and it seemed to me that developing that iconography, which is something you have to think about and it's a process, so then it seems like it would be useful to use those on social media or there'd be other ways to take those new icons and sort of extend their branding.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when we put these together at the end, there's a little quick montage of all of them, all six of them.
Right.
And yeah, we had originally talked about doing a lot of breakouts for those. So if and when we do end up doing more of these spots, I think they'll definitely lead into that. We can tell a lot more of a story if we're focusing on one universe and one show. So I think we built a lot. That was the whole, when Matt came to us, that was the whole thing. He wanted to create this really rich universe. You know, when you see kind of in the sense that Marvel does, you watch one movie and there might be hints and Easter eggs of other characters, but really wanted these environments to be rich and detailed, to feel like you could break out and spend more time in them. And that was really fun in the process, coming up with each of those universes, because it does go by quickly in the spot, but we're really excited about the opportunity to dive into each one and explore them further.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about that, because it seems like you did spend so much time and effort developing the origin story, developing the universe, developing the look and the character. So it does seem like there's so many places you could take this. Is there anything you know that you can talk about in terms of where this is going? Are we sort of just at the beginning of that process?
We're pretty early on in the process, so we keep in touch with the team over there quite a bit. So there's nothing we can really talk about at this point, but we're just super excited that, you know, it was really well received over there. Everyone loved their history. We were very happy with the results over here. So we're just very excited about the potential of continuing to explore this. And, you know, we have a lot of ideas over here onto different stories we can explore for each universe. And I'm sure they're over there cooking up their own ideas. So hopefully if the stars align, we'll get to really, really push this, because I know a lot of the work we do with history stands out on their network. You know, they have so many different shows and so many different types of properties that we do a lot of stuff with them outside of animation, but we've really kind of cornerstoned that as our creative partnership. And they really, you know, I watch history a lot, and the animated spots really pop out from a lot of their more traditional promos that are editorial based. So we love to, you know, give them something that gets the fans excited about it and get the characters. I know the guys in the shows really love seeing themselves animated as well. So I think there's a lot of potential for future diving into this world.
It does seem, I mean, just thinking about it, like, let's say you were doing stuff around Mountain Men, you've created this whole universe, you could do interstitials, you could do, you know, little animated stories, you could take those and break them out on social. It just seems like there's so much you could you could, so many places you could take it. It could have quite a long and deep life.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was kind of what the history team was thinking when they came to us with this concept. So we were super happy with the results, and they seem to be as well. So we've got our fingers crossed that that's going to happen.
Okay. Well, I hope it happens too, because I thought it was a great spot. It captures your imagination. It's engaging. I watched it. Well, I was writing about it, so I watched it many times, but I also watched it many times because I was really like, I really want to understand what this story was. And it, you know, every time you watch it, it yields a little bit more. So I think, you know, you don't see that so often in just a typical brand spot. So I thought it was really cool that it operated on all those different levels.
Fun kind of working with the team to hone the script in too, because, you know, we used quite a bit of different voice talent in the spot to not only have the characters from the shows speaking, but also
right.
this narrator that also harkened back to the kind of early 30s and 40s action kind of news announcement, like this was a big thing. So we definitely worked a lot on the script and making sure it spoke true to each of the shows and spoke with the lens of the history would speak through. So there was a lot of fun kind of on that side as well, making sure that it lined up with the visuals and it told a kind of a concise story in the span of 45 seconds.
Did that make it much more difficult because you did have to incorporate voice talent from the shows?
Not so much, no. You know, they're always
accessible.
Very open. Yeah, and it's not too much. We only have a couple lines of mm-hmm. the guys talking. It's mostly the narrator speaking the whole time. We just have some kind of action noises, some laughs, and some grunts when they're kind of posing. So it was actually, you know, we used a couple different voice actors, but we didn't end up, I think, no, we did end up getting some stuff. We did end up getting bites from the talent.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go watch it 5 more times to see what else I can get out of it. But it's great. I will repost it again with this when we post this up on Daily Brief. When you guys go to the next phase of this, let us know. We'd love to check out the spots.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a really fun process. And as I said, we always get excited when the history team gives us a call to work on something. We know it's going to be something that stands out and gives us a chance to do what we love to do.
All right. Well, great. Thank you so much for your time, Dane. I appreciate it.
No problem. And thanks for reaching out. And we look forward to listening to this podcast in the future.
All right. Pretty soon. Okay. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Paige Alpiniak is editorial director of Promax BDA. LaFern Cusack is executive producer of the Daily Brief podcast and senior producer at Promax BDA. Video helper provides the music. Digital producer Kate LaCaire-Marion and social media coordinator Kristen Craik contribute to Daily Brief. Follow Paige on Twitter at Paige A. Follow LaFern at LaFern Cusack and follow Promax BDA at Promax BDA. You can reach out to us at dailybrief@promaxbda.org. And you can subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Podomatic, and now on Spotify. Thanks for listening.